This is the Sunday after the Ascension. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but above all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift that each has received, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as with words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and 16, verses 1 to 4. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me. And you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Now, the reason why I'm speaking to you in this manner is because I am not going to talk to you this morning about the Epistle and Gospel. You know that we have arranged for this morning to have our question and answer session, and that will be after Mass today in the hall, followed by a meeting with the teenagers. I say that because I would like to see the teenagers after Mass, and we'll take them into our recreation room in the house. There's a number of questions I'd like to ask them. I don't want to talk to them. I want them to talk to me. I have some questions that maybe they can give me some information about regarding, well, their experiences that, well, at this point in my life, I'm not in that world any longer, and I haven't been for many years. And it would be of value to me to hear what they have to say about their own experience. It would be of help to me. So I would like if they could spend a little time with me and we could talk about these things, about their experiences, their lives, and so on. So that we will do after the questions and answers. And because of that, perhaps we won't keep everybody as long as I might, because I'd like to see these young people afterwards. Remember, too, that with the questions and answers, the session, that certainly you're not going to offend me. You can leave any time you like, right in the middle of an answer or a question. If you have to go, if you wish to go for any reason, bye, goodbye. And not, I won't be in the least offended. You will have your schedules and your needs and so on. But here are some of the announcements that I want to give you before we resume our Holy Mass. The first is to tell you some unhappy news, and that is that I think many of you knew him, Daniel Langen, one of the people who've come to Mass here for many years, has passed away this last Wednesday. And, of course, we will count on your prayers for the repose of his soul. The rosary for his eternal rest will be at this Tuesday at 7 in the evening at Mountain View Mortuary. And the funeral will be Wednesday at 10 o'clock here in the chapel. and that we hope that as many of you as possible will be able to come to both, but at least to one or the other, the Rosary or the Funeral Mass, Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning. The collection envelopes for the next 3 months will be distributed by the ushers after Holy Communion today. This Thursday is the day, Thursday before the first Friday of the month, and so we will have our customary Holy Hour reparation to the Blessed the Sacred Heart and the Blessed Sacrament, and that will be followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 o'clock. So that's Thursday, 7 in the evening. First Friday, the next day, the Mass is at 8:30 in the morning, followed by the Rosary and perhaps a conference, we'll see. Anyway, it's Friday at 8:30 is the Mass. The first Saturday of the month is this coming week, and the Mass is as normal at 8:30 in the morning. Next Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost. This is a very major feast in the Church, one of the three major feasts with octaves all of their own. So we have Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. This is very important. And so the Mass will be a solemn Mass next Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning, with Vespers and Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6. As you know, as you can, at least I hope you've noticed, we have an improved sound system in the chapel. A number of people have told us over some time that they're still having some problem hearing me, or us, I should say. I thought I projected the most of all the priests, but apparently I don't. This comes as a great shock to me. And as well, great dismay. But nevertheless, we are trying the system out, because at this point in my life, you know, it's difficult to change. So I'm doing my best. But in any case, we have this new system now, and I'm hoping it's working. So we would hope that if you have any reactions, all favorable criticisms, but any criticisms whatsoever, excuse me, we hope that you'll tell one of us what you think. And if they were still having any problems, please let us know. But let us know what you think about this new system with these two mics. And, well, I don't know what to do. What else we can do here? But we keep on trying. And there you are for the new system. We have also a new and improved, revised audio system in the hall, so those of you who are able to come after the Mass to the hall, I'm hoping that you'll be pleased with the new and improved audio system. The other lectern that we have will be able to use elsewhere, fortunately. But in any case, we have a new lectern and an improved system in the hall, and so you'll be able to hear it, I hope. And with that, and here comes some, ready for some new rules, new regulations? Maybe we can call them new requests. Here it is. I want to remind you, please keep your children away from the stage and the lectern and the whiteboard and the markers and the speakers. Please keep them away from that. The lectern is stationary relatively. It's not fastened down very, very securely. So people can get hurt. Please keep the children away from the stage and all that area over there. Please do that. Please watch them. All right? Don't let them run wild. Huh? Please monitor them. And that brings me to a problem that, or I should say, a set of circumstances here that we need to really get refined a bit. Huh? And it comes with the reception of Holy Communion. Now, we're having a problem. I mean to say, the priests are really having a problem. And because of something that's been going on here for years, I don't know what is done in other chapels and churches and so on. I really don't know, but it has never been the custom. It suddenly started here, and I have tolerated this for years. I made a remark about it some years ago, but it's really getting out of hand. It has never been the custom that people who don't receive communion come to the communion rail. It's never been that way. See? People who don't receive communion, that includes children, should not come to the communion rail. All right? That's the rule. That's the way it's always been. We have these people come, little children, you see, and it's getting harder and harder for the priest to figure out who is receiving and who is not. See? So we have sometimes children who are receiving communion who are still little, see, and the priest is not sure if he's supposed to give that because he can't remember when he's in the flow of giving communion. Because frankly, it is a flow, it's a rhythm. You see, you say the prayer and you put the Blessed Eucharist on the tongue and you keep moving. And some of the children who are not receiving communion are large, big, see. That's because of the way they grow up and so on, it's fine. But nevertheless, sometimes they don't put their head down, sometimes they keep their head up, and the priest is getting confused. There's the who's, and there's the danger of, in fact, it happened to me years ago. I gave communion one time to a child who was still preparing for communion because he was large and he didn't know any confusion and so on and so forth. And there was a big comeuppance about it, see. And it's getting harder and harder to do this. Furthermore, and I want to mention this very frankly, it is, can I tell you this, a colossal time waster. Why? Because there are a number of occasions when you have a string of children, you see, and all these people are blessing all these children, and then finally communicant comes. And all these children are taking up space from the communicants. You see? It's normal that children who do not receive communion, or anybody, stay in the pew. So that when they finally do receive communion, it's a special moment to come to the communion rail for the first time. It's a very special moment. So if they keep coming up and coming, and the priest is getting more and more confused, then it's just getting to be chaos. And then we say, who was this? Okay, give him. No, this one, no. No. So please, if you have children who are not yet ready for communion, they stay. So that the communicants can come and things will move along more smoothly and, to be frank with you, more quickly. We have a lot of people, of course we haven't had a huge amount of people, but it really is a time saver just to have the communicants come to the Mass, to the communion rail. See? Furthermore, if you have infants, now sometimes, and of course often, you know, mothers don't know what to do with this baby. I've got a baby here, see? Oh, that's fine. Bring the baby up. That's okay, obviously. See? So you can bring the baby up because he's in your arms. But these youngsters that are coming up, and we have to put a stop to it. It's just getting, I've been putting this off for years. And finally, I've been getting too many complaints. Well, not from the people, to be frank, because they're very polite and very kind and so on and so forth. We have these communicants waiting for the little children to finish, you see. Besides that, the blessing is fine, but, you know, there's a blessing at the end of Mass, and that's for everybody, including the children, see. So stay back, those who don't receive, and those who do, come up and we'll move this along more efficiently. And with regard to that, I remember for myself and all the children in my time, we were going to Catholic school, see, the children did not go up to the communion rail until they were ready to receive communion. That was, as I said, a very special moment, to go up to communion for the first time, and it's just a beautiful thing. All right, so there you have it. Now, with regard to that, when you bring up the babies, I'm talking about the ones you're holding in your arms, you see, and when you bring them up, please make sure that they are in no way interfering with the hand of the priest when he's holding the host. And if the hands start flailing, hold them down. See? So that the priest has a smooth gesture of putting the Blessed Sacrament on the tongue without any interference. Sometimes, to be frank with you about this, it's been a little bit frightening when, you know, the mothers or the fathers bring up the babies and the hands and so on, and the head is close to the communicant's mouth, and you have to kind of squeeze your way in. And you see, please don't do that. And lastly, I want to mention all these regulations. Aren't they annoying? But we have to say them, see, for the sake of efficiency, yeah? And for the sake of things keeping things smooth. The last thing is this. We have people, you see, who have this extraordinary ability to put their tongues out so far. I have never way out there. See, the head is back and the tongue comes out, and I think this isn't human. See, the way they put the tongue, that's not necessary. See, put the head all the way back and that tongue comes out, and it's like I feel like I'm being attacked. So don't do that. See, it is only necessary to put your tongue out in a reasonable manner. See, you put the head back a little bit, and I always have liked the way the sisters have said it in years ago. I mean, like many years ago, make a table with your tongue. You like that expression? I do. Make a table with your tongue. See, so put the tongue out, but make sure it's put out enough. Now, we have some people who are very timid. I have no idea why. Do they think I'm going to put a nail in the tongue? I don't know. They barely put the tongue out. So the priest has to kind of maneuver in there, you see. This is really annoying. And it's difficult. So, well, you don't want to put the tongue out like it's a boa constrictor, you know. Well, you don't want to do that. You have to put your tongue out enough so that the priest can find your tongue and put it down, put the host, see, squarely on the tongue. You see? Just do that, and it would help a great deal. Sometimes people forget. And that being said, I'd also want to mention to you when you receive, it is important that you swallow the host as soon as you can. Because if you wait for the host to become so soft, it can lose the appearance of bread, you see, because it's the Eucharist, the Lord's sacrament, our Lord. But at the same time, he comes under the appearance of bread. And you don't want to destroy that appearance to the degree that are you receiving anymore? Because the reception of communion is constituted by the taking in, the ingesting, as it were, of the species of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, you must allow yourself the opportunity to moisten the host. Because who can swallow something dry? You can't. You can't swallow anything dry. It's hard. Particularly, well, in this form. So, moisten the Eucharist when you receive it to the degree that you're easily able to swallow it. But not to let it linger in the mouth. That's wrong. See, that's very wrong, and I don't know if anybody's explained that to people, but here I am doing it so that we understand each other about this. Since you can't be said to receive the Eucharist if you don't ingest it, don't take it in the form in which it comes to you. See, so what you do then is you receive, moisten the host reasonably so that you are able to swallow it, and then swallow it. All right? So you remember that, will you? And this way, it will be much more, well, efficacious for you and a greater peace of mind for me, so that I know that I'm giving the host the Eucharist, we are distributing it in the correct manner, and you are receiving it correctly, all right? So let's do that, will you? Do that for us and for yourselves, and there you have it for the announcements, all right? And that's it. Aren't you happy? It's all over. And so we'll resume our Holy Mass now. And then those of you who are able to stay for as long as you wish, see, we'll see you in the hall afterwards. God bless you.